A sermon should be about God and about 10 minutes. A lovely saying of the Reverend David Brown, chaplain in Walsall Home, which I rather liked. And today we have three passages of Scripture which in many senses are disparate, yet all have something to say about God, who he is and how we should respond to him. And I hope to explain that in about 10 minutes. First of all, Psalm 37, which Gwen led us in. Of course, we only had the first 9 verses. If you look it up, we'll discover there's 40 verses in the total psalm. And of course, the psalms are poetry, not to be taken literally. They are a poetic expression, and yet often poetry, such as the hymns that we sing, are the best way of expressing our faith, help us to express our faith. And of course, the Psalms are the Jews' hymn book. But of all the forms of writing that we find in both the Old and the New Testament, poetry has the greatest danger of things being lost in translation, as we said. Remember, it was written originally in Hebrew. And this is a good example. As some translations will point out at the beginning of Psalm 37, they will point out that it is an acrostic poem, the stanzas of each which begin with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a poetic form of Hebrew, in Hebrew. Who the psalmist was, the actual heading does say of David, but he calls us do three things in the passage that we heard. Put your trust in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Put your trust in the Lord. We worship God who is trustworthy, who will do good and not do evil. Yes, we should come to him with a holy fear, but also, as our second quote says, but with delight. We shouldn't charge in and charge out of his presence, as sometimes we do in church, and sometimes we do with private prayer. Although, of course, he is always present with us. But rather, my third little quote, we need to be still and wait patiently. Something I know I am not good at, and I'm sure many others of you, if you're honest, are not good at it either. For God's timing and ours are not always the same. You know the famous prayer, O Lord, give me patience, but hurry. So easy to break, isn't it? Yes, the psalm this morning tells us to trust, to delight in God, but also to wait patiently for him. His timing isn't always our timing, but as we often discover, his timing is the best timing. Then to our second reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, those opening 14 verses. It is, of course, 2 Timothy, one of the three so-called pastoral epistles or letters that date post what we read in Acts chapter 28. We believe Paul was released from prison in Rome, but now he's back in prison, and this is usually thought to be his last letter. Normally, actually, we hear from this letter the next two Sundays as well. In fact, next Sunday, David's celebrating Harvest Festival, and the following Sunday, Jack Fowler's for the Old Testament reading instead. So you won't be stopping you reading the rest of the epistle to follow on from what we heard this morning. The epistle is instructions by Paul to a young, and I would say slightly timid, church leader. He actually calls Timothy in this passage, my beloved child. What does he say to him? Rekindle the gift of God that is within you, through Paul's laying on of hands. Lay hands on him, pray for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to be with him for the ministry Timothy had. And he goes on to say, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, hence the timidity, but rather a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. We have the promise, those of us who believe, of the presence of God's Holy Spirit living within each of us. God, the Holy Spirit, is not a weak God, but a powerful God. And as His Son Jesus Christ did, so should we reach out to others, as He says, power, love, love for others, and with compassion. But we are also given a spirit of self-discipline, or self-control, which is, of course, for many of us, I speak again of myself, most needful. Humanly, having love for the unlovely, having self-discipline, yes, are difficult. But, says St. Paul, they are made possible by the God who dwells within each of us. So, as he goes on to instruct, guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living within us. God at work within us, who's given us a spirit of love, compassion, but also of self-discipline or self-control. And so to our short gospel passage from Luke chapter 17. The six verses, as set for today, are unique to Luke. They don't appear in any of the other gospels. The disciples want more faith. Increase our faith is their cry. Many commentators suggest that it may well, their request may well be in response to what's recorded in the previous four verses, where it's a collection of sayings that Luke has put together, but where Jesus tells them to be people sin against them, they are to forgive them time and time again. Hence the disciples say, Lord, give us more faith to be able to do that. To forgive like that, Jesus, they say, we need more faith. Jesus' answer turns them from the thought of having less or more faith to that of the genuineness of their faith. If there is real faith, no matter how small, hence the idea of the mustard seed, then effects will follow. And as one commentator beautifully puts it, it is not so much great faith in God that is required, as faith in a great God. Not so much the great faith in God that is required, as faith in a great God. But the last section of the Gospel reading is a warning against having faith, by having faith, leading to spiritual pride. The master-slave relationship described here seems an inappropriate and immoral one, I guess, in our society, yet one clearly understood in Jesus' day. Slave worked in the fields or tended the sheep and then came in to cook the master's meal. This was their duty, and they shouldn't expect thanks or reward. What I believe Jesus is teaching us about God, as I said, the Son should be about God, is what, whenever we do what God calls us to do, complete the task He has given us, we cannot claim we have done more than we should. And even our best service does not give us a claim on God. be able to tell him what he should do, which so easily we do. I believe that is the message that Jesus is trying to get across in his little teaching after their disciples' request to increase their faith. So this morning, I haven't got the stopwatch going, but David will tell me how long it is because it's being recorded and you always get the exact number of minutes and seconds the sermon lasts. In conclusion, with the psalmist, let us trust and delight in the Lord, but also be still and be patient, waiting for the Lord, listening for him, for his timing is not ours. Secondly, like Timothy, remember the promise, gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. His power, his love, to be expressed by us, but with self-discipline. And remember that God will honor genuine faith, no matter how small. That God is good. We are but his unworthy servants. We are to do what he calls us to do. And as I hope we will do this morning, offer him the worship and praise that is his due. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.